This is the Frank and Friends Show. Hi there, I'm Frank Murphy.
Hi, I'm Becca James, the girl with two first names.
Hi, Becca.
It's so good to see you, Frank.
So good to see you.
It's been a million years.
Well, it's been since last year, but I think you were here in December, but
yeah.
Not January or February.
And January took 50 billion 11 years, and then February was over in a blank. So, yeah, here we are. It's March.
Yeah, I was snowed in for six full days, I guess, because we went to church on a Sunday, and then it started to snow.
Yep.
And then we went to church again. The next time we left the house was church a week later, because we had shoveled enough of the driveway on Saturday that we could get out.
Snowmageddon was insane. I attempted to make it out that Thursday. I did make it out.
Yeah.
I made it out to the local...
But you have, like, a job...
Oh, yeah.
You have a reason to leave the house. I didn't have any reason to even shovel.
But I had a job that I was doing from my kitchen table. My husband was doing his job from our office. And I had two small children at home.
You were driving yourself crazy,
It was constant, and it didn't stop for 10 days. I was doing emergency communications for the public transit system.
Yeah,
because we actually had to shut down for the first time in ever.
Because that's what you would rely on. For people like me say, I'm not going to drive my car. Anybody in all of East Tennessee is like, well, at least I can take the CAT bus, which is where you work.
No, you could not.
Right.
Because our employees couldn't even get in. It wasn't safe for them to do so. And then even once, the major snow events ended, we had that brief window on Thursday where it got above freezing. So that's when I was like, let me run out to the neighborhood Walmart, get some supplies.
That is when I got the text from the nice lady across the street, the nice family.
Yeah.
She's like, we're at the store. Do you and your wife need anything because you're old and homebound?
Bread, milk, and eggs.
Well, we were fine. I know, we could have made French toast. But I looked in the fridge and I'm like, well, we actually were fine. We've been eating so much frozen stuff that I had overbought over the past 6 months that we were absolutely fine.
Oh, so you're lucky. So I, honest to God, needed bread, milk, and eggs. Small children in the house. So I made it out. I did not quite make it all the way back, and I went sledding in my car. So nobody was hurt, nor were the groceries, but I met some new neighbors, because when I started the slide, I was going up my hill on my neighborhood, and it wanted to turn my car, but there was a car parked on the side of the street that had I not kept my car from sliding all the way by getting it out of gear and twisting the wheels the other way, I would have hit them.
Ooh.
Luckily, they came out, they were able to move the car, I was able to put my car back in gear and kind of steer the slide down the hill and then park in front of a different neighbor's house where my car then stayed for the rest of the event because then it got worse again over the weekend.
Yeah.
My kid's birthday party was supposed to have been that weekend, so I had to reschedule
January?
You know what? They come.
One of the news articles I was reading about stupid stuff to say on the radio, and it was... Somebody has decided when the best birthday and the worst birthday are. And basically, the worst birthday, some people thought Christmas, but other people thought mid-January.
Mid-January is terrible. You know why? Because everybody's just spent all this money on Christmas that nobody wants to come to your kid's birthday party.
Right.
Next year, we're not even having one. That's a whole nother soapbox not going
to
get on right now.
In another episode. But
January is definitely not conducive to
birthday
party attendance.
You're like a Memorial Day birthday-ish.
Yep.
And I am first day of summer birthday. So they said the best one, according to this article, June 15th, which is exactly halfway between your birthday and mine.
The Ides of June.
Ides of June. Beware.
I know.
So anyhow, this is the Frank and Friends Show, and we've got merch you can buy. It's called, we had a sale the other day, and I bought some new stuff.
I did too. I bought that in blue.
Oh. Well,
I'm anxiously awaiting its arrival.
Oh, good. I bought a... My wife had a beautiful soft sweatshirt that was not a zipper. It was a pullover hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been started wearing it again because she says, I'm sorry it's got the old logo. But but it's so
now
comfortable.
Now you know what she needs for Mother's Day.
I ordered her one. I mean, I don't know if she'll watch this episode because usually she doesn't.
Surprise! She doesn't.
Well, her birthday is the Ides of March, so...
Mm.
I should be all set
there
right there. That's really what she wants, is another piece of clothing with my name on it.
Why not?
Yeah,
right. I mean, and you can get clothing with Frank's name on it, too.
Please.
So, and is the sale over?
Yeah, it ended, but you can still pay full price. For a limited time only.
And why wouldn't you want to?
For a limited time only, you can still pay full price. There'll be another sale. Just relax.
And there's a lot on there, too. It's all the clothing items, shirts, mugs,
I did
towels.
Buy some. I finally got ordered the pint glasses. I'm going to get rid of these. These are just spare
random
from the cabinet.
Spotted glasses.
Random party glasses.
Yeah, because Frank broke a cup.
Well, so that's why, we'll get back to two mugs, back to have a... We can have day drinking. We can have coffee. We can have all the things.
Well, that's the best part about the coffee mugs is no one knows what's in it.
That's exactly right. But when Frady comes over, we've been known to sip on hard ciders. So those would go in the pint glass.
Is that what y'all are drinking?
There's no secret. It'll be right in the pint glass for all to see. Well, all right. So there's been a lot, I mean, going on. Obviously, we have a lot of catching up to do.
I know. Well, for starters, my company sent me to New Orleans during Mardi Gras, which was pretty epic.
Like, if you're going to schedule a convention, if you're going to schedule a convention, why would you schedule it in Las Vegas on the weekend? The Super Bowl is in Las Vegas. Why would you schedule it in New Orleans on the weekend of the Mardi Gras? Well, I mean, it wasn't just like the early Mardi Gras in January, February.
No, it was Fat Tuesday, the culmination.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe that the committee that decides when these conventions are going to be was like, I want to go to Mardi Gras in New Orleans. Because normally this convention is the end of February, and they moved it up a few weeks so it could coincide with Fat Tuesday.
Now, I heard my friend Bean's podcast that they originally had planned to have the Super Bowl in New Orleans this year, but when they realized that Mardi Gras was early and it landed...
That would have been absolutely terrible.
Right. So, you know, there's Fat Tuesday, there's also Fat Monday, and there's Fat Sunday. There's a whole week of them, so...
There were a lot of different names for all the different things and different days going on down there.
And
I mean, I was lucky that, you know, I was able to attend all of my sessions and do all the work stuff, which I was, you know, there for. But then I got to enjoy all of the fun Mardi Gras stuff.
You posted some great parade pictures.
First of all, I credit my coworker who I was with. She's the kind of person that everybody gravitates toward. They just love her, and she just exudes this energy, this amazing energy. And I think this is why we got offered what we did. The first night that we went down to the Mardi Gras parades, it was Monday night, so the night before Fat Tuesday, we walked down to, we're two blocks from the parade route anyway.
Yeah.
So we walked down there, and we just asked this random person by the viewing stands, like, so can you just pay to get in? Like, what is it? And some guy over here is, yeah, it's $200 a piece. And we're just like... We work on public transit.
That's not
doable. So should we just find someplace around? Well, that guy walks off and she's like, hey, look, somebody had won tickets to the viewing area and can't go. I'm going to give them to y'all. So we weren't like on the bandstand, like where they, you know, they were
you
actually
got contest
judging.
Winner seats?
I did. I mean, right? And so it was actual legitimate viewing area tickets. So we had to go down to Lafayette Circle. It was like about another like half a block away from where we were.
Yeah.
But so we were in a caged area, but so the safety factor, obviously, like everyone warns you, even though it never really felt unsafe, like, but we were in a special
area.
They
can still shoot you through the cage.
It's more from a pickpocket standpoint. Everybody warns you about, like, you watch your pockets, you know, that kind of stuff. But
you have to,
really...
like, wear your purse on the front or in the...
And I had a solution for that, which I'll get into. So just real quick to finish the story. So this viewing area for this parade... We get in there, people are telling us the history behind some of the stuff in the parade. So we're getting this wonderful history lesson. We're watching
the crew.
I know.
Whatever the crew is.
All
right?
The crews. There's more than one. Because the night we were there, there was two parades. So the second one was Harry Connick Jr.'s parade.
Mm.
And we're literally front row.
I heard he lives there.
Yeah. So we're front row at this parade.
Harry Connick Sr. died.
Yes, he did. But Harry Connick Jr. still showed up for the
parade. The parade must go on.
And he even sang. We could overhear the bandstand area a little bit, so we could overhear him sing a little. Following his float, Neil Patrick Harris was on there.
What?
And is it David Burka, his husband? He was with him.
I don't have to know pop culture anymore.
Fair. I love Neil Patrick Harris from the show
Doogie
How
Hauser.
I Met Your Mother. Yes, that too. But How I Met Your Mother is, anyways, moving on. And Taylor
Dayne. Legendary.
Taylor Dayne. And then she sang on the bandstand so we could overhear her sing. And so we're in this VIP viewing area, front row and the barricade. So we have like the most massive amount of beads. So we come back and we're like handing out Mardi Gras beads left and right to coworkers. They're like, what did you do? I'm like, no.
I saw the picture.
We were not.
I sent you a cartoon of, how am I going to explain to my kids what I did to get all these beads?
And
or
the answer was
like
absolutely nothing. So we have
what happens
to find
when my kids are old
family
enough to realize.
Friendly area of the parades. We were not on Bourbon Street for this, though. We did get down to Bourbon Street Tuesday evening.
The actual Gras.
Well, but the Gras kind of really, from all the day drinking, it was more cleared out than you would think.
My friend went.
It was very dirty. I'm not going to lie. Like, you're stepping over piles of trash and busted beads on the ground.
Oh, that kind of dirty.
That kind of, I mean, there were definitely people in the balconies with lewd signs saying, show me your whatever.
Uh-huh.
And at one point I yelled out to somebody, I don't have one of those. And she thought that was funny and threw me beads anyway. So now, nothing untoward happened in the obtaining of said beads. But so we got all of these massive beads the honest way. And it was just really, it was a really great, fun atmosphere.
What has Taylor Dane done for the past 40 years?
I have no idea, but she sounded amazing.
I remember when she came in to promote her first song. And what I remember about her is, you know, it's early in the morning. We're at the Washington, D.C. radio station. And she's got on this big fur coat. And there's a dog in the pocket of her coat. And that's the only thing I remember about Taylor Dane.
Was cold enough that she could have been wearing a fur coat. I don't remember what she was wearing.
Did she have a dog?
Not that I saw.
All right. Other than that, I could, you know, talk up the intro, the 19-second intro of Tell It to My Heart anytime, you know.
I mean, still a great song.
It's a fantastic song.
Okay, so you mentioned something about, like, the wearing the purse in front of me.
Pickpocketing.
So backtrack a little bit to Christmas.
Sometimes videos of, you know, on Instagram, you see them of the, they're all staged, but they show the pickpocket video just to get you to watch
it. Right. So, my parents are like, you better be careful. So I was like, okay, well, backtrack to Christmas. I got a present from my best friend, and it's essentially, it's a fanny pack purse.
What? I mean, I know what a fanny pack is.
You remember the fanny pack? So I've never been cool enough to pull off a fanny pack. But I open this and I'm like, I am not cool enough to pull this off.
Is this a Dallas Cowboys fanny pack?
Shut your mouth.
Look at it.
Absolutely not. No. It is silver and it's a star. There's no other. No, Dallas has a blue star. So no.
And what does Texas have?
Also a star.
Well, what color?
Like, which Texas? The Astros are a star.
Oh.
Don't go there. I'm not a Dallas fan. Anyway, so I get this purse, and it holds more than you think, and I'm like, I'm not cool enough to pull this off. But fast forward to Mardi Gras, and I'm like, wait, so I'm going to try to do this without. So I've learned that, you know, I mean, it's massive, but I could carry it right here. It fit all the things, not the beads, but everything else. I mean, they were throwing cups and toys, and I was fitting that stuff in here.
That's good.
So I felt really safe wandering around New Orleans on my trip.
Because if they're going to steal from you, they're going to have to look you in the eye first.
I mean, I still don't think I look very cool carrying it, but served a purpose.
Are you telling me that people at Mardi Gras looked cool?
Some people did.
But the regulars. You know, the people in the stands.
What's really interesting, so we might have skipped the awards luncheon. Big group of us to go to the parade at lunchtime.
There's a parade at lunchtime?
Oh, yeah. It's on Mardi Gras. They started at like 8 a.m. So this is now like noon, and we're like, let's go walk a block and get another parade in. So there are people in the stands. They have ladders, and they have like these nets where they're putting out the nets because people are passing out stuffed animals, toys, all this. I didn't even have to purchase souvenirs for my kids because I got all these fun light-in-the-dark glow-up toys, and I was like, all right, cool.
That's fantastic.
It was great. And then, of course, it culminates on Wednesday. It's our last day there. It's Ash Wednesday, and it's like, you know, National Hungover Day there, to be honest. I mean, I wasn't hungover, but I was pretty tired that day.
Well, as a Catholic, I do appreciate that they go through the motions of shutting everything down at 11:59.
Yeah, so the cops come through, and it's like a cop parade. They come down Bourbon Street. Now, people are still in the bars partying, but the cops come through to signify the official end of Mardi Gras.
See, that, to me, is amazing, you know, because I realize that a lot of the people don't really care, probably don't, maybe not, don't practice the Lenten sacrifices.
Not a lot, certainly not the people that I was with.
New Orleans is still a nominally Catholic city, you know, with the St. Louis Cathedral and all those. Yeah.
There's so many. I feel like I need to go back to New Orleans just as a regular tourist because there's so much that I would have liked to do. We didn't even get to Café du Monde for beignets. Oh. Like, we didn't get to do any of the touristy stuff other than see the Mardi Gras parades.
The restaurants there are amazing, though.
I've heard, but you couldn't get reservations to them because they were all booked months in advance, which, you know, pro tip, if you ever go to Mardi Gras to New Orleans, schedule those reservations months in advance.
I don't have to go now because my friend Bean is moving back to England very soon. So I was going to go. For multiple years, we tried to go to visit him, but my wife's vacation is always spring break, which is mid-March, and sometimes there's one, you know, it's too close to Mardi Gras. So
up in a few weeks, hop in the car and go.
He'll already be gone. That's when he's moving. It's one of those funny things where every time I've tried to visit him, it's always been around St. Patrick's Day, around the Ides of March, around spring break at school. Yeah. And my friend Bean has always had a habit of taking vacation and being away. So I'll say, hey,
is that a habit?
What are you doing? What are you doing March blanky blank? He's like, we're going to somewhere on the other side of the world.
Well, maybe he's just trying to avoid you, Frank.
That's certainly possible. Certainly possible.
But no, yes. Yeah, so now Lent is up. Have you, or Lent is here. What have you given up? Or because you generally
well, yeah, I'm trying to do
participate.
I mean, the three things they want you to do, you know, is pray, fast, and give alms. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I'm trying to focus on those things. And I also, I mean, I feel mildly guilty because I've lost enough. The fasting has caused me to lose weight.
You do look very slender.
Well, I'm getting there. I mean, I haven't, I'm kind of, yeah, that's since last
you're looking,
time.
You're looking good. It's been like 2 months.
That's true. You so you're going to notice it more than my wife, who
yeah,
sees
Jerry,
me every day.
Yeah, Jerry, who sees you every day.
For example. Yeah. I just know that, you know, the shirt collars are getting looser.
That's always nice.
It seems I'm losing.
Because it really doesn't matter about what the scale says.
Right. I'm losing all the weight I've lost so far is in my neck. So
it's not a bad place to lose
it. It's a pretty visible part of me. So therefore, I don't really mind.
Well, you can always do the Kate Middleton trick is just making sure that your face, your chin is always level for photos. That's her trick to always looking good in photos.
Good.
Yeah, I don't know if it works for us non-photogenic people, but that's
well, on
what
TV, they always they often catch me looking down at the notes or
oh, yeah,
cards.
So you got that wonderful double chin.
So what I've been trying to
do. Love that
so my because of my vanity, I said I would like to have the questions on cards, please, instead of on a sheet
so
on the counter. So I can at least pick up the card somewhat. So now what you do is you see me looking forward, but my eyes are look closed because my eyes are down there reading the card. Anyway.
Can't they get you a teleprompter?
We thought about it, and I thought about it. We went through back and forth on it, and I thought, well, how do I keep it secure so that nobody else can see
The
answers or the questions for that matter?
Okay, and, that's a fair point.
And we thought, no, it can't do it. It has to be on cards. So anyway.
So back to Lent.
Back to Lent. So right before you got here, I was a little worried because I was spraying Febreze to make sure it didn't smell like canned mackerel.
It did not.
But I also rinsed the can and took the garbage out immediately after I finished lunch.
I appreciate the thoughtfulness because, you know, that's like what they say is like one of the worst coworker habits is eating fish in, or microwaving fish in a break room. So, and I come from, well, I had an office a couple offices ago that somebody would heat up salmon in the work microwave. And, you know, his take on it was, you know, it was usually after 5 o'clock because he was like an afternoon
a couple
job.
Of jobs ago.
Did
no, I
also
yeah,
I was
work
in
there?
Houston. I was in Houston. But it would be, you know, it'd be kind of after work hours. And I get it, but so many people were still there working on production and that kind of stuff. So, like, those of us like me who, like, lived there.
I'll admit. That dead fish smells bad. But you know what else smells bad? Human decomposition at the body farm.
There's a segue.
Bonezones.com. Don't forget the S.
So do they also put that stuff under their nose like cops do at a morgue?
I don't know that that's true. I don't think. You know, Dr. Bass always used to say that he has a poor sense of smell and that, yeah, it's bad, but you're not.
You can deal with it.
Because you're thinking about every other thing, you know. And yes, and by the time you've looked at hundreds of bodies, you're.
Plus, I'm pretty sure he's desensitized to it.
Yeah, he's desensitized to it. You're over it. But yeah, newbies often, you know, will lose their lunch. Over the stench. I think it's time to bring out the short sleeve, I believe.
Oh, it's getting close. It's supposed to be spring-like soon.
Yeah. Well, I'm so worried that we're going to get another St. Patrick's Day snowstorm like we did a couple of years ago.
Gosh, I hope not.
But also, Groundhog said, early spring, I'm going with that. I don't believe in the groundhog.
I was about to say,
but this year I do.
Just so you know, the groundhog is wrong 60% of the time.
Right.
So this is hopefully one of the 40% times.
If we actually don't get another bad freeze, I might actually get peaches on my tree. This is a commercial for BoneZones.com. Don't forget the S, where you get the autographed merchandise and books from Dr. Bill Bass. I have a hat in here somewhere, and I've got the. I've got the, of course, the paperweight, all the things.
All the things.
And Dr. Bass is doing well. I called him and spoke to him recently, and I'm planning to go have lunch with him soon.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, and he's been up, out and about. You know, he did a radio interview. They declared it Dr. Bass Day. So that was nice.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So BoneZones.com, don't forget the S. Get all that great merchandise. And you can also use that website to hire me to come speak to you about Dr. Bass and the books. I've got some PowerPoint presentations with pictures of dead people. And I'm going to be...
Do you see dead people?
Well, on the slides I do. I can show them to you if you want. But
I would probably be one of those that lost my lunch, so
I need
I'm
to,
okay.
Yeah, I need to practice my presentation. On March 25th, I'm doing one for a women's group in Teleco.
Oh, nice.
So I want to be brushed up on that one.
Yeah.
And then I think I'm going to do it, I'm starting to work on a new one for Frady. She's got an opera at Marble City Opera about body snatchers. So I thought, well, that's interesting. There's a connection to why they stole the bodies and what Dr. Bass does. He's got donated bodies. So it's kind of a, the link is an easy link. Okay. And I'll explain all that at that event coming up probably in June. So keep an eye on bonezones.com. Don't forget the S. And if you want me to come speak to your group, well, you just pay us and we come. It's not that.
It's that easy.
Pretty easy. And we'll sell all the merchandise, the autograph stuff. It's nice.
Very cool.
Bonezones.com. Don't forget the S. All right.
Back to Lent.
Well, Lent is...
and mackerel. And did you actually give up anything for Lent? You never answered the question.
Well, there's a loophole in Lent.
Well, it's Catholic. Of course there is.
If you count on the calendar, Lent appears to be 46 days.
Oh.
If you think about it, right?
But it's supposed to be 40 days and 40 nights.
There are 40 days of Lent when you subtract out the 6 Sundays, which are celebrations, mini Easters, feasts. So, therefore... I'd gotten a bundt cake, mini bundt cake, on Ash Wednesday. So I put it in a Ziploc bag, and I put it in the fridge, and it stayed there. Well, it was supposed to stay there until the following Sunday, but Jerry and I guess we went to go see The Chosen or something, and she'd had popcorn at the theater, and we get home, and she's like, I'm too full for your bundt cake. So then it stayed in the fridge for another week.
Yep.
And I think it might have been another week after that, too, but... It was either 10 days or 17 days in the freezer, in the fridge.
And it was still good?
Well, I had put it in a Ziploc bag. I'd sealed off the air. I squeezed out all the air, and I put it in the fridge. So the decomposition
was slow. Well, you're still with us, so clearly it wasn't
bad. It was delicious. And we had it on Sunday because it was delicious. So all of those things, you know, all of the normal things you give up. My wife hasn't had, she said this is the first year she hasn't bought Girl Scout cookies.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, our plan...
I was a Girl Scout. I will never say no. I had already ordered some for my friend for donating, and then we get a little hang tag on our door because Girl Scouts are excellent marketers for the little girl across the street, and probably haven't talked to her parents since COVID and all of our kids were like babies. And it was like, hi, I'm going to not say the name here. You know, would you like to order Girl Scout cookies? You can do so from my website. And I was just like... Or maybe it was a QR code. Either way, I was like, she didn't personally ask, but she kind of did. So I was like, whatever. I donated the other boxes. I'll order some. And I went ahead and I got a couple.
I bet my wife caves because I'm just remembering that every other year, the Girl Scout cookies have been not non-existent. But then on Easter Sunday, I get a box of Samoas. She gets a box of Thin Mints on Easter Sunday as part of our overwhelming loot of too much candy.
So the Easter Bunny will... Provide.
So that might happen. Our other plan, is to go to good old Andy's Frozen Custard.
I drove past them on my way to come to you today, and I literally was like, "I'm already late, so I probably shouldn't stop."
You know what they have?
But I thought about it.
They've got Thin Mint blizzards, or not blizzards. What do they make
concretes.
Over there? Concretes or sundaes? Yeah, they take actual Girl Scout cookies and crunch them up and put them in there. So. That'll
now I wish I had stopped and made myself even later.
Well, they're... You can go back that way, can't you?
That is not in my plans to head back towards Kingston Pike, but now I'm like, maybe this weekend. It's supposed to be nice. I'll take the kids.
There you go. So your dad was in town, right?
Yeah, so my dad is also Catholic, and he celebrates Lent.
I'm trying to remember how that worked out. For some reason, I thought your dad was Jewish and your mom was Catholic.
No, you have it swapped.
The other way
around.
Which is why you celebrate Christmas, okay?
Sure. That's why I'm a cashew.
What is... Oh, John.
I'm a little nutty. Sorry,
I love it. Corny this joke. If we don't have corny jokes on this show, we got nothing. There's nothing left.
My dad is 70. He finally retired. My birthday / retirement card to him was like, hey, congratulations, happy birthday. Now you have so much time to visit Tennessee.
Has he been here before?
Twice. He was here. I've lived here 10 years.
Okay. Yeah.
No, it'll be 11 in September.
Yeah, yeah.
So... And the only time he's come to visit is after my kids were born. So he completely, the first 6 years, never made it once.
But you want to hold the grandbabies.
I'll
make that trip.
He came right after, the week after they were born, but he was also fresh off back surgery. So we did not leave the house. My kids were born in 2019.
Fast forward. The poor guy, the pain he must be in trying to hold
them. Oh, no, he refused to hold them. He's terrified of babies. He would get close, but he wouldn't. He refused to hold them.
He's terrified.
He was refused to hold them. He was terrified. He just doesn't do babies at all. I mean, he loves them, but he was terrified. And I get it. Newborns are scary. They're tiny. But anyways. So fast forward to their second birthday. And he surprises us by coming in for their second birthday party. And okay. Keep in mind, this is January 2021. We are still very much in COVID world. So with an exception of going to pick up food one day, we didn't leave the house. My dad is a musician. He likes local breweries. Like, this is, Knoxville is his kind of town. Like, he just, yeah. It's made for him. But he's never actually seen the town. So, finally, he came to visit the other day. They came in for like 5 days, like literally like That's a few nice. Days before. I'm like, hey, we're thinking of coming in. When's good for you? Probably the first week of March.
How about as soon as I get home from Mardi Gras?
Yeah. Yeah, all right, well, we're going to be there next week. I'm like, so why were you asking when was good for me? Anyways, whatever. I made it work. I took a few days off. Finally got to show my dad around town because I used to do middays. I never got to enjoy the WDVX live concerts at the visitor centers, and my dad loves bluegrass music.
That's fantastic.
So on Fridays,
that's how Emily Ann Roberts got her break. It was on that show, that station. You would think it'd be one of the big time commercial stations, but no, it was WDVX that put her on first.
Well, so did you know that on Fridays they broadcast from Barley's Pizza downtown?
I technically did know that. I've not been to see it,
but not thought about it in a while.
Right.
So that's what we did on the Friday they were in town.
I was like,
Barley's is incredible, and I'd been forever since I'd been there. So I took them down.
Didn't they get bought out by the same company that owns Aubrey's, I think, which means why they're, I mean, Aubrey's is one of the best restaurants, the best local restaurant.
That's my go-to for when Tennessee. People are out of town, usually. But in this case, bluegrass, it was during the day because kids.
Yeah.
So plus, it's Lent, and my dad gives up alcohol every year for Lent. So all these amazing breweries, I felt like I want to take them to like Scholl's Brow, and I had actually put on my calendar for in South Knoxville. Oh my gosh, I can't think. High Wire Brewing was having this thing with the market, like with over 40 vendors and live music, and I was like, man, that's so up my dad's alley. And then I was like, but it's a brewery, and he's not drinking, so that'll have to be the next trip.
So he'll come, but he's retired. Maybe
he's retired, so he can come back more frequently.
Maybe you've convinced him that he should.
Well, he even said the phrase, like, man, this is my kind of town. I'm like, I told you it was.
It seems like an impossibly long drive to Houston.
Absolutely. So they took two full, so they don't live in Houston anymore.
Oh.
They live further west. He bought a ranch right before COVID. Yeah. So he is in like about an hour, hour and a half outside, like west of Austin, like in like the middle of Texas where it is more deserty. You know, because most of Texas is not actually the desert, contrary to what Hollywood would have you believe. But so he actually bought like a 10-acre ranch, and I don't know how to describe this as other than like it's a suburb of ranches. Because everybody drives their little Kubotas, whatever, around, and like everybody's got like anywhere from like 10 to 20 acres, and so it's just like a suburb of all these little small ranches. And they had to come in February versus March when I'd like them to have come because they're expecting their new cows. And they can't leave for so long after so they can get their cows acclimated.
Are these milking cows or eating cows?
Eating cows. We generally name them things like T-bone, prime rib, and they're delicious.
So he's had cows for a few years, they're not really cows. Are they steers? Are they?
They're.
I mean, I guess you could have a cow, but generally speaking, you would have.
They usually do three. So the way it works is for like the tax breaks, you have to have.
Bean, you can fast forward through this part.
You have to have them for so long, then you can take a break. And so they've taken kind of a couple year break because, you know, inflation, feed is expensive. Mm. So they haven't had them in a couple years, and now they have to have them again. There was like statute of limitations for how long you could go without having animals on your land. So now they have them coming in.
So you save money, obviously, at the grocery store. And do you get some of the benefit of that for your family?
So the irony is no, because they live so far away. The cost of shipping the meat to us is more than just catching a sale when Kroger does $7.99 for sirloins. So,
well, when he's coming to visit, could he pack some dry ice? And
they could, but they're pretty much out of the steak. But he brought me venison, and my husband hasn't gotten to hunt in quite a few years.
See, now, you can't be mad, Bean. You can't be mad about people eating deer, because deer are a nuisance.
I mean,
mostly.
They're just delicious. Yeah. I grew up in a hunting family. My husband's from a hunting family.
I'm saying my daughter
forget leaves. That these are everything you're eating was an animal. And to be fair, venison is essentially free range organic.
Yeah, and my daughter lives
and
in an area.
And humanely killed.
Well, you can't, I don't think you can hunt, especially where she lives in Northern Virginia. There's certainly none of that. And the deer are such a nuisance. They're everywhere. They get they'll hit cars and they eat all your vegetables.
Well, that sounds like they're not giving out enough hunting licenses.
Right. It's a different state, different laws, different rules.
It's more expensive to hunt outside of your state. But in Tennessee, the problem is there's not a lot of public land that's not completely overrun. Like, my husband tried 1 year, and you get in early before the sun comes up so that you're not disturbing the deer, you don't spook them. So right as sunrise comes up, this other hunter comes ambling in, making a ton of noise, scares anything in like a 50-mile radius. So he's like, it was a complete waste of a trip because the sun did that.
Now, I think, if you ever drive up to Virginia by any chance, up 81?
I have not yet.
Well, you'll notice, you don't even need to see the sign that says, Welcome to Virginia. You could tell that you're in a different state by the amount of dead deer on the side of the road.
See, there's that makes me sad, though.
There's like none in Tennessee.
They all go over there and then...
Well, I mean, they get culled in other ways in Tennessee. Plus, there's a law that if you hit a deer with your car, you're allowed to pick it up and take it home.
In Virginia?
In Tennessee.
Oh, really? No, I'm kidding. That's the meal.
Anyway, so...
moving on.
So I have a medical issue that I probably should have done this at the beginning of the show, but, you know, if you're still watching and you can help me out with this. I'm getting older, and I have the ringing in my ears. I don't know if you're too young still, but it's just a constant, like right now, there's a high-pitched ringing that I've been hearing since I woke up this morning.
Okay, so I have a question. Is this really an old age thing, or is this an old DJ thing? Because we've had earphones over our ears for life, and we turn the volume up super loud.
It could be that.
The other thing is, we're not medical doctors. Go talk to your actual doctor.
When I went to an ENT a few years ago, he told me there's nothing he could do about it. And I thought, well, that can't be right. So I'm going to have to try, you know, maybe
like, try a different ENT?
I might have to because...
get a second opinion?
The maestro, Aram Demergen, he goes and he gets his ears professionally cleaned frequently. And that's how they noticed he had lymphoma. His ENT said, there's a lump back here. And he went and he had cancer and they cured him because the ENT noticed this lump. So... this one option I have is maybe the cleaning of the ears. I also think it's worse on a day like today where it's raining and I feel like I have a stuffy nose, although there's nothing in there.
It's just drainage from the constant weather.
Not even
weather
drainage.
Change.
It's like the actual sinuses are inflamed. Huh. So if I spray them with Flonase, they'll shrink for a little while and I can breathe more easily. But there's nothing in there. I blow and nothing comes out.
Yeah.
So I had this, I discovered accidentally a temporary cure for the ear ringing. And I'm trying.
Sleep?
Yeah, basically. How'd you know?
Just a wild guess.
Well, sometimes it's hard to get to sleep because of the ear ringing, but.
Does it hurt?
I know, it's just kind of loud. It's just kind of, you know, it's just there.
Yeah.
And there was a night not too long ago where tried it twice now. So I guess the first time was a couple of weeks ago, and then I did it again 3 days ago. What happened was I was tired and I was able to, but I was worried that I wouldn't be able to sleep well. I had a couple of bad nights where I woke up, I crashed, woke up at 3 a.m. and then I stay awake till 4:35 and
finally get up because not working.
Or you go back to sleep and then next thing you know, it's 9 and you're late for something. So I thought, well, here's what I'm going to do. Jerry had choir. I'm going to go to bed at 8 o'clock and I'm going to take one of my little Tylenol PMs. I only need, the dosage says two, but I don't need two. One does the trick.
Okay.
So I take this Tylenol PM and I'm laying in bed and doing the crossword reading, whatever. Okay. Nighty night. And I get a good solid, probably 10 hours, 8 to 10 hours of sleep.
Wow.
But my wife says I was out when she came home from choir practice.
Well, yes, you drugged yourself.
I was out when she got up to go to work at 6:30 in the morning. But I wake up and I'm like, oh, what a beautiful day. And I realized there's no ear ringing. I have been temporarily cured of the ear ringing.
Oh.
Because it's usually constant. Mm-hmm. But I get a whole day, no ear ringing. And then the next day, no ear ringing. But on the third day, it comes back. The problem is I don't want to be popping time. I can't. Let's suppose I'm out, have a gig. I have a gig tonight. In fact, I'm MC of a thing. I can't just exactly pop a Tylenol PM in the middle of the day to get the ear ringing to go away.
No.
So this morning, I took a regular Tylenol. I thought, was it the PM part?
I was about to say, at this point, you're going to have to set up a whole experiment to figure out what chemical is it in the Tylenol PM that's helping with that.
Well, technically, they're members marked generic.
Or is it because you got the solid night's sleep that helped it go away?
I think. Because I took a regular, you know, I take, what do you call it, Sam's Club or Walmart.
Oh, yeah, whatever, yes.
So just acetaminophen plus whatever, I don't even know what the other ingredient is. It might be Benadryl? I don't know. I got to look. But that would make more sense to me because the regular Tylenol did nothing. I've had it, took it, what time is it now? I took it like 7 hours ago and it's still ringing the same as it was all day.
Yeah.
So it's, I think I'm eliminating the acetaminophen as the cure.
Yeah.
And it's whatever the PM is.
So that was step one in your experiment.
I think.
You can get rid of that.
So, and if it is, I guess I should just Google that. I mean, why can't I?
I was going to say, but what else? But there's probably more than just one thing in the Tylenol PM. So it could be a couple of different things. And if it is, are there any like supplemental type things in there that you could try that potentially?
Well, I take,
or could you maybe go to the doctor, Frank?
I guess. I mean, I should mention it. I probably should go.
You should probably. I mean,
when your husband sold me life insurance, I kind of got a physical that day.
That's not that type of physical. That's to say, like, are you going to croak anytime soon? All right, we'll insure you.
They gave me 20 years. I thought I was
pretty good.
Well,
there you go. So your doctor might give you something different. I don't know.
All right, the dip. Diphenhydramine.
Diphenhydramine? Yeah, that's sure.
So that's what we got to look up and see what that is. Because that might be, remember I said it seems to be worse on days when it's rainy. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that's all it is it's an allergy medicine. And maybe it just.
Or yeah, maybe it's some kind of
maybe my ear ringing
or
is an allergy, allergic reaction to
I
the
mean,
world.
Either way, what do they say about, you know, like WebMD?
All right, it can treat pain and itching caused by insect bites, minor cuts, burns, poison ivy, poison oak, and poison sumac.
Wait,
when applied
that's
topically.
Antihistamine.
Oh.
Oh.
All right.
It is an antihistamine.
But it's Benadryl, basically, and Nitol. In its injected form, it can treat severe allergic reactions, motion sickness, and symptoms of Parkinson's disease. It doesn't mention anything about your ears. All right. Well,
so side
I
effect.
Guess the next thing is I got to go buy just one of these without the acetaminophen.
Yes, or call your doctor. Because, you know, when you're not a medical professional, the best thing to do is to talk to one.
Well, I mean,
I'm trying to keep us out of a lawsuit, Frank.
All right. I'm just saying.
Or at least myself out of a lawsuit.
I'm doing my own experiment is what I'm saying. And I thought it was interesting. Now, but I am reminded that I haven't had a physical since I had a job one time. And I used to have medical insurance.
Yes.
And they let me go. But I had like 30 days.
Yeah.
So I went and I got the shingles vaccine and I got
you just got all the things.
And I got a physical and I got all of that. And in my mind, it was just yesterday. But as I think about it.
No, because I have been gone from that job for 2 years.
So it's 3.5 years for me as I realize.
Yeah.
So yeah, I enjoy a good physical.
My head was thinking of the prostate exam.
My doctor won't do it. My doctor won't do the prostate exam. He'll just do a blood test. He's like, I don't want we'll do the PSA screening in your blood. And if that says you've got prostate cancer, then we'll deal with it. But right now,
maybe you also need a new doctor.
This is not the same as the ENT.
I mean,
these are different doctors.
But you know, second opinions exist for a reason. Just saying.
All right. Well, I would also mention that we're getting close to Easter, and it is the time of year where I know we're getting close to Easter because all of my friends start sending me pictures of marshmallow peeps.
Okay, why pictures and not the actual things?
Well, because this is very sweet, actually, and there's a book on marketing called Positioning, The Battle for One's Mind, and we had to read it. It was like all of us radio people, we had to read it back in the early 90s. It was the hot book,
okay?
By Reese and Trout. And a lot of it stuck with me because as a radio person, you know, they don't see you, they don't think about you, and they might even not remember you when it comes time to fill out the ratings.
Yeah.
So if you can get a little piece of real estate in their mind, then you've won part of that battle of positioning.
Yeah, I mean, that's
so
marketing 101.
Yeah. So the piece of real estate that I own in people's minds is Marshmallow Peeps, and the fact that I loved Marshmallow Peeps. I still love them. I enjoy them, but I don't obsess over them the same way I used to. But it doesn't matter because people from 20 years ago and 30 years ago remember.
Aww.
So my friend Mario, she's living in Southern California. I wish you should move to Tennessee. But she lives somewhere in Southern California. She plays the flute. She plays at all these different churches and orchestras and things. Oh. And she's at some store, and she says, sends me a picture of the flavored Peeps.
Oh, yeah. Says, they've gone a little crazy with the flavored Peeps.
The watermelon Peeps look gross. The sweet and sour Peeps look gross. Now, my wife also, coincidentally, sends me a picture of flavored Peeps from the local supermarket right up the street because they have some s'mores flavored Peeps. I'm like, well, you can't, how badly can you screw up s'mores?
Well, I mean, s'mores flavored are generally marshmallow and chocolate flavored.
Right.
So,
and
actually use Peeps to make
They're great.
S'mores.
Have you done that?
Yeah, I have kids. Of course I've done
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they're very, I recommend and
they,
highly.
And they love seeing them blow up in the microwave.
Well, even when, then you got to burn them, even if you do it on your gas burner.
Total sidetrack, but we took the kids on an official camping trip last fall, and so they got to do the campfire marshmallows. Oh. But when you're at home and don't have access to a campfire, you can put them in the microwave, and they get like this big, and the kids think it's hilarious.
It is funny. So. You put a toothpick in their shoulder, and you have them duel.
Oh, you know what?
Joust.
I've seen a radio DJ do
jousting,
that.
Jousting, yeah. Well, when you burn...
But did you discover that? Did you...
No, I got it from some show prep service, but I did it. When you toast them over an open flame, even if it's right here on the stove, mm-hmm. the sugar on the outside caramelizes, and you get Peeps Brulee.
Oh.
That's a very grown-up treat. And it also makes for a good s'more. Well, the actual s'mores Peeps are dipped in chocolate. Their bottom of them is instead of getting 15 to a pack, you just get 3. And there's only, but the bottom is coated in chocolate. And I thought it would be a toasty flavored marshmallow, but it's a graham cracker flavored marshmallow. So maybe that's okay. Because generally speaking, artificial flavors taste artificial.
Yes.
Aaron Cody Campbell sends me a picture. He's at the club, at Sam's Club, I assume. And he sends me a picture of this just mountain of Peeps, each with like 10 boxes. He said it's enough to last him
the
three
industrial
lifetimes.
Sized
yes.
Boxes.
It's enough for three lifetimes. But if you're hosting maybe a giant Easter party or Easter egg hunt or somewhere,
hunt. Yes,
maybe you would need the massive
case. I mean, I can see that
because
we tend
Peeps.
To bring the kids out to the big Easter events because they get a kick out of that stuff.
And then next, my daughter sends me a picture of a box of, actually, she didn't, there was no Peeps in it. It was just an empty wrapper with a note.
Oh, she was taunting you.
These were delicious, by the way. And the reason I'm even bringing this up for you in the first place goes back to Texas, where I went to Dallas one time and I walked up to the hotel bar and they had they didn't have Coke in the gun on the bar. They had Dr. Pepper.
Heck yes.
So it was Dr. Pepper.
Was it Dublin Dr. Pepper?
When I went
Dublin
to...
Dublin Dr. Pepper is made with real sugar cane versus... So it's
when
different
I went to,
and better.
When I went to Dallas, it was 1986, and you were a baby. So
yes.
I don't know.
Hmm.
But the Dr. Pepper flavored Peeps, Megan says, were delicious. And I said...
Really?
And I know my grandson loves Dr. Pepper. He had us buy ice cream. What was the ice cream you love? Bluebell. That had Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, they had a Dr. Pepper float Bluebell, and it really, like, it wasn't the same consistency as a Dr. Pepper float, but they nailed the flavor.
Yeah, it was very good.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if you served it with some fizz, you know, if you added some fizz to it, either by making
and that's what I was missing, because when you think Dr. Pepper float or like root beer float, like it's that combination of fizzy and ice cream that kind of makes that treat.
Yeah.
So, but the flavor was there.
It was very good. And she said the Peeps were good, so I thought maybe it was the same grandson who twisted my arm or who tricked
so
me
hard.
Into buying Dr. Pepper ice cream. I thought maybe he had gotten his mom to buy Dr. Pepper Peeps.
No.
She said no, it was her husband. She bought it for her husband for Valentine's Day.
She bought an Easter candy for Valentine's Day.
I didn't even know that my daughter liked Peeps, and I didn't know that she liked Dr. Pepper, but I guess, you know, she's got a house full of boys who all enjoy Dr. Pepper.
All of it, yeah.
So anyhow, she said they were good, and now I want those.
And I should try them.
I haven't tried them yet, but this is yesterday. Yeah. I got the picture from her yesterday.
Oh,
last
okay.
Night. Last night,
so
even.
So you've got to find them around here.
I'm sure they have them somewhere.
I'm sure they do.
Right?
So, I mean, all the Easter candy is there. Like, I have to... It's that time of year when I try to not let the kids come to the grocery store with me. Like, between, like, Valentine's Day and Easter, it's like I almost, like, try to avoid bringing them to the grocery store because they just...
Because they roll into, the Halloween candy rolls into the Christmas candy, rolls into the Valentine's
Precisely.
Candy, rolls into the Easter
Precisely.
Candy.
Precisely, but I also just like grocery shopping all on my own. It's like peace and quiet time for moms. Realistically, I try to avoid bringing them as much as I can.
Well, fair enough. Because you saw what happened when I brought Artie to the grocery store. I ended up buying Dr. Pepper
all the things.
Ice cream
all the
stuff.
Things.
Well, that same week is we made our own dry ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
But the dry ice had the fizz.
Oh.
Because it's carbon dioxide.
Oh, yeah.
So it occurred to me that what I need to do is take the Dr. Pepper ice cream and let it get a little, not too soft, but put it in a blender like I'm going to make a milkshake or something.
Okay.
But blend it with dry ice. Because the dry, and then it doesn't water it down because there's... There's
no
water
but it,
dry
it
ice,
provides that
but
fizziness.
It would carbonate. It would carbonate. This is. Could you come back? We'll do this on the show.
Okay.
We'll carbonate some Dr. Pepper float ice cream as soon as we can find it in the store. What do you think?
Okay.
All right.
There we go. Good Sounds deal. Like a Done plan. Deal. So right. I have a reason to look at the Bluebell section every time I go now.
And here's the last. Here's the last thing. I don't even know if I should tell this story. So I might. Edit,
oh.
I might edit it out. My leap day was recent.
Yeah.
February 29th. My wife was so happy for Leap Day, so she loves to send it to family text to everyone.
With the jazz fingers?
Well, but she sends it to our two kids and me. And so we have our own little text group. This is the three,
yeah,
the four of us,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, naturally.
And she uses, and I hate to out you on this, Jerry, but those Bitmoji things where it's like a cartoon of her. It's kind of vaguely resembles her.
Oh, yeah, the ones on Facebook.
Yeah, but she can send them on text, oh. another thing. And it's like, you see them on Facebook all the time where it's like, they're blowing a horn and there's some other news that's inappropriate or there's some other kind of confetti. But it kind of looks like them. And obviously they've spent time trying to match the haircut and the eye color and the other.
Yeah, and none of them ever really look like the person because I have one and it's not even close.
I'll show you my wife's. It kind of looks like her. I mean, you know it's her.
It's reminiscent, but
you,
not.
You get it.
Yeah.
So she sends one that says, Happy Leap Day. I don't know, she obviously gets it from somewhere. You copy and paste and you insert your Bitmoji face into this.
Okay.
So, and it's weird because it's like a frog, a giant frog, Happy Leap Day. And then, and she's holding like a leaf, which I don't understand, like a lily pad or something. I guess maybe it's AI generated, but you got a frog, you got her holding a leaf, and she sends it to us, and then I'm like, okay, what? And then the next thing I get is a text saying, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, I didn't notice the wheelchair. The Bitmoji that she chose put her in a wheelchair for Happy Leap Day.
Okay, what service is providing this image, though? Like,
so she was so embarrassed because she didn't look at it that closely. So
because
she
why would you think that's...
I don't know. She picked the wrong one. So there's like this menu, I assume, of Leap Day images that she could have picked. And unfortunately, she was in a rush and didn't notice it all the way. So now I've got this cartoon of my wife in a wheelchair holding a lily pad with a giant frog saying Happy Leap Day.
I mean, she could have been jumping a ramp. You don't know.
All right. Well, I know you've got to get on to, you've got a massage later today,
don't
you?
I do. It was my Christmas present, a 90-minute massage. I'm like, yes.
Well, it's March. You better get to it. It's been a
I know. I know. It's finally. Well, it took me a while to schedule it. Anyways, yes.
All right. Well, good.
I plan to pamper myself today.
Now, we can go back to the archives, but I'm fairly confident that you've scheduled your massage and your podcasting on the same day in the past. This is not the first time this has happened.
I think chiropractor and...
Massage,
but not...
Okay. Well, I remember you were worried about your face being pushed into the ring.
Well, yes,
the...
because you always get a little mini massage when you go to the chiropractor.
Yes.
Which is one of the things I love about going to the chiropractor. Mm,
it's good stuff.
Yes.
All right.
Anyways.
Well, so we'll wrap that up and urge you to please go to frankandfriendshow.com/store and buy some of our beautiful merch because the bath
Full
towel...
Full price for a limited time.
Yes. The bath towel is now back to being the beach towel because I'm so excited about nicer weather and maybe growing some peaches. frankandfriendshow.com/store. Yeah. And if you love the audio entertainment, you can go to audibletrial.com/frankandfriendshow. Get a free 30-day premium membership. Try out all the bells and whistles. Mm-hmm. Get a free MP3 download during that month.
Yep.
And then if you continue, you get a credit for an MP3 download every month.
Mm-hmm.
And as we figured out recently, there are certain places where you, or certain days when, you know, the phone system crashes and you have no internet access, you can still listen to your audiobooks because you've downloaded one.
Yeah, they're on the phone. It's not an internet connection.
Or there's a place back road in Sevierville that I like to take as to get to Pigeon Forge where there's no cell service at all. It, so you can listen to a pre-recorded thing in there, too. And you can barely get FM radio in there. You're down in between these two mountains.
Happens in Sevierville.
Yeah. So check all that out at audibletrial.com/frankandfriendshow and find a great audiobook or podcast, including ours, on that site. Will you come back? Oh.
Yeah. That's going callback. Back to the archive.
That's the callback that she's a prisoner and she's sending her husband a signal. No, I'm not coming back for another 3 months. So how are you going to tell this guy?
Yes, of course I'll come back. Oh. I love being here.
Good, I love having you. I have to show you this idea that Bruce Patrick sent that I don't want to say on the show.
Okay.
But Bruce, you know what idea I'm talking about.
Okay.
All right. It is the Frank and Friends Show. I'm Frank Murphy.
I'm Becca James.
And we'll talk to you again next time.